The scripture reading today is found in Genesis chapter 16, 1 to 14. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 14. And you may stand as we read together. This is from the NIV. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Beret.
Hello and good morning, everyone. So today we are going to continue with our series, Knowing God Through His Names, His Attributes, His Titles, and Metaphors. Last week we talked about one of the names of God, Yahweh Sabaoth, meaning the Lord of Hosts, which Eugene Peterson's Bible translates as the God of Angel Armies. This morning we move on to yet another name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah El Roy, commonly translated as the God who sees me. From Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 14, which we just read together. In the 1960s, Linda Ronstadt sang a song written by Phil Everly, and it was called "When Will I Be Loved?" Part of the lyrics of the song went like this: "I've been cheated, been mistreated. When will I be loved? I've been pushed down, and I've been pushed around. When will I be loved? I've been made blue. I've been lied to. When will I be loved? Oh, I've been cheated, been mistreated by those I love and care about. When will I be loved? Tell me, when will I be loved. Labor day and night to love others. Be kind to them and show them compassion. But when are they going to love me back? Think about it. When are they going to love you back? Or, some people have invested in your life and given you love, comfort, and peace. They have surrounded you in tough times. But the question is, when are you going to start giving back? The community has been so much a blessing to you. When are you going to give back to the community? When? Tell me. If not now, when? I think these lyrics speak for many victims of abuse, neglect, and betrayal. And that might include you and I. Now, in Genesis chapter 16, which is about Abraham and Sarah having a faith crisis as they waited for their promised son, whom God promised them in Genesis chapter 11, we meet a minor character, a woman by the name of Hagar, an Egyptian woman of color, a slave in Abraham's household. Her social position as a foreigner, a slave, and a woman of color does not afford her much of a voice in her own story. So she gives in into the demands of her mistress, Sarah, who desired a child so bad that she gave her maid to her husband so she could bear a child for her. Abraham agrees and takes Hagar as a wife. Lo and behold, she conceives. Her relationship with Sarah becomes increasingly strained because she now started to treat her mistress with contempt. Check your attitude. God can bless you. He can do great things in your life. He can make you climb the ladder to the pinnacle of success. But be careful how you treat those people you leave behind. You might just pay the price on your way down. So Sarah complains to Abraham, and he tells her to do what she thinks is best in the situation. I think he was just trying to get her off his shoulders. So Sarah mistreats Hagar, and as a slave with no rights or opinions, she had no choice but to comply. Out of desperation, she flees to the wilderness because she couldn't take the abuse and the pain anymore. But she quickly found herself alone and defenseless, without shelter, without sustenance, being an expectant mother. To say she felt lonely and unloved is an understatement. She wondered in her despair if anyone cared about her. How come they don't show it? If people say they love you, they care about you, How come they don't show it? They don't show love. They don't show compassion. They don't show kindness to you as much as you do yourself. Something is wrong in this picture. I think she was despairing in the wilderness about what will happen to her and what will become of the baby she was carrying. She must have felt used and abused by those in power. There was power differential between a slave owner and a slave. But lots of people abuse power because they are in power and they can do what they want to do without you fighting back. And they know it. And that's why they continue in their abuse. She had been cheated, mistreated. She was pushed down and pushed around and pushed away, discarded like a piece of trash. She was desperate for a way out of her misery. Desperate people do desperate things. I'm sure you could have done the same thing if you were Hagar. You don't put up with abuse anymore. You can only put up with this stuff for a moment, and after some time, you lose it. Okay? You can't take it anymore. You don't care where the chips are going to fall because it's too much. So alone, crying in the desert and lost in her despair and bitterness of soul, she was probably wondering, does anyone care that I perish? Do they care that I'm miserable, desperate, and dying of thirst? Can somebody give me a cup of water? But God led her to an oasis, a spring of water, where she had an encounter with the angel of the Lord, which some people say is a type of Christ. Because every time this angel shows up, the Bible says the angel of the Lord. So that was a pre-incarnate Jesus. That's theology. We can get into that after the service. You can talk to me. So we meet Hagar beside a spring of water in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 to 14, which I would like to read. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness alone, along the road to Sheol. The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai servant, where have you come from and where are you going? We'll come back to those two questions. I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I'll give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel of the Lord said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. So it's not only a God who sees, he's a God also who hears, who redeems and who protects, comforts, and supplies the needs of his people. He meets them at their very point of need. So the angel said, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Other versions will say brothers or brethren. Verse 13. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. And this is where I got the title of the message. She said, "You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me and lived?" So that well was named Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. Well of the living one who sees me. And that's the first time we see that name in the Word of God. So this brings us to our first point. Or should I say our first and only point. If that makes you feel better. Just like Hagar, God sees your affliction when you are abused, despised, mistreated, used, marginalized, and neglected by others. I'll say that again. Just like Hagar, God sees your affliction when you are abused and used, despised, mistreated, marginalized, and neglected by others. God sees you. Would you please do me a favor? Would you close your eyes with me and say to yourself, I don't know what you're going through right now, but God sees me. Let that sink in a little bit. God sees me. Okay, you may open your eyes now. Now, have you ever been in a toxic relationship? An abusive environment? A broken family? A toxic workplace? Or a hard season? Or rough terrain? Have you ever walked through the valley of the shadow of suffering and of death? Can you relate to Hagar? Can you? I hope you don't think I can't relate to Hagar, because we all go through suffering, pain, grief, and neglect. So I hope you relate to our experience, but maybe not our exact situation, but to the emotions she experienced: fear, loneliness, and feelings of neglect, rejection, abandonment, and lack of love. Not from those on the street, but people that you love and care about. Peradventure, your spouse has abandoned you and your children. Maybe you've lost your job and your home during the pandemic, as inflation and the economy becomes worse. Maybe your parents neglected or abused you as a child, and you are reliving that today. Maybe you didn't grieve enough for your loved ones when you were a child, a teenager. But now it all comes back to you, and you are living your grief again. Perhaps your employer or loved ones overlook you and the hard work that you do in providing for them. Maybe a friend has hurt you, stabbed you, in the back, threw you under the bus. They betrayed you. They betrayed your trust, your love, and your respect. Shamed you in public. And guess what? They didn't care a bit. And that's what's painful. The fact that the people I love don't care that I perish. So you might be wondering, does God see my plight? Does he even care? Is he ever going to do anything to help me come out of this season of abuse and neglect? Will I ever be happy in life? Will I? Hagar, expectant and desperate, afraid and seemingly unstable and unable to cope with the emotions of torture and the trauma that that brings. She quickly found herself alone and defenseless, without shelter and sustenance, because she was trying to run away from the abuse and yet ended up suffering even more. I think you've been there before, where you're trying to run away from a situation and you end up also suffering more than actually what you went through. Because at least you had a place to lay your head down at night, take a shower, and you had food. You didn't have to worry about that. But now you are in the wilderness. You have to worry about a cup of water now, which you didn't actually do when you were a slave. She probably wondered, just like us, does the God of Abraham care enough about people like me to do something about my situation? But in the middle of bitter, seemingly hopeless circumstances, God saw Hagar and heard her distress and sent an angel to meet her and deliver a message. Hagar was deeply comforted and called the Lord, the God who sees me. Since, she said, truly I have seen him who looks after me. Just like Hagar, you too may be going through a tough situation with family dynamics, especially following what transpired the last 2 years. You may be going through a situation too complex to explain. However, do not despair. Why? Because we have a God who sees you. You are not invisible. People might act like you are invisible and they can't see you and minister to your needs, but there is a God who sees you. He sees you in your affliction and painful experiences. He sees you as you suffer in silence, because he loves and cares for you. He sees you in your anguish when you feel like you have no control over your life and your tomorrow. He sees you, and because he does, he hears your prayers. He's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. That's what Ishmael means, the God who hears. So the God who hears is the God who redeems. The God who redeems is the God who saves. He buys back our pain and heartaches. Nicole C. Mullen affirms. And he surrounds us with a ring of fire Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and of suffering, the Lord will be there to comfort us. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, because we will dwell in the house of the Lord in the presence of the Almighty God, because he sees you. He is attentive to your prayers, and he will deliver. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." Because you are the apple of God's eye as a righteous person, God watches over you. Psalm 34, verse 15 and 18. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, those in grief, and those in sadness. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. In his compassion, he will meet you at your point of need. When you are afflicted by illness or injury, brokenhearted over the loss of a loved one, or disillusioned because your family has betrayed you, neglected and rejected you, God sees you and he cares for you. He will come through for you." Are you ready for this? "In his own season." The only problem we have is that we want it now. But God comes in his own time and in his own season, because he is God. Nobody can take him to court. "How come you didn't show up when my brother was dying? You could have saved him. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'll see the hand of God?" Even now, nothing is impossible with God. When you think it's too late, to God, he comes right on time. Right when he feels like it, because he's God. And then Lazarus came back to life because Jesus came at the right time. He didn't delay 4 days. Oh, so that Lazarus can die. He delayed so he can show the glory of God through the life of Lazarus. And he can do that for you. He will show the glory of God through your situation. To God be the glory. You may be deeply depressed. Perhaps you are plagued by isolation and discouragement. You know, Jesus cares for you, just like he cared for Hagar. And because he cared, he came to her rescue and provided for her water to drink and a word from the Lord. Now, before I move on here, I want to tell you that that word that Hagar received was what is called a rhema word. So what's for Hagar is not for you. If you are suffering and you are being abused, God is not asking you to go back into that same abusive situation. Seek help right now. But at the same time, God would like for you to endure a little bit. Endure hardships. And let God be God. But you need to be sensitive to that, about what to do, and seek help. If you mess it up, it can mess your entire life. Don't take that scripture and say, "That's my word, I will run with it, and yes, today I'm running away into the wilderness." No, there's no wilderness in Canada, okay? What I'm saying is, there's no desert. And so that was a rhema word. And you need your own rhema from God for you to run with it. Are you lonely or feeling isolated? He sees you because he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. Is your body broken, weak, and suffering from illness? He sees your pain and is waiting to comfort your affliction, to comfort you in your affliction. God comforts us so we can counsel and comfort others with the same measure of comfort we have received from the Lord. Find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Have you been hurt, exploited, or abused by your boss, by the system, by those you love and care about, even church people sometimes, who call upon the name of the Lord? Have you been abused and disappointed by people? He sees the sin that was committed against you, and he will vindicate you in the fullness of time. You find that in Psalm 135, verse 14. Have you experienced loss and a suffering grief that seems too deep to bear? He sees your despair and understands it as the Lord Jesus bears our grief and carries our sorrow. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Are you growing weary in waiting for God to fulfill his promises? Do not take things in your hands. Allow God to be God and to show up at the right time. But he sees you in your waiting and will be faithful to complete his good work in you. He's faithful. Philippians 1:6. God is faithful to accomplish what he has started in you. David says in Psalm 55, verse 22 in the Amplified, cast your burden on the Lord. That means release it, let it go, and he will sustain and uphold you. For he will never allow the righteous to be shaken, to slip, fall, or fail. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from the suffering. All of them, not one of them, all of them. In closing, in a song entitled, He Knows My Name, Tommy Walker says, I have a maker. He formed my heart before time and again. My life is in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Psalm 56, verse 8, David says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Even when we are surrounded by gossipers, backbiters, and vicious critics who give us verbal abuse, cruelty, like David's enemies, God sees our tears and hears our prayers when we call for help. So I don't know what you're going through right now. Remember, help is on the way. Remember to call upon the name of the Lord, who is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you are enduring. The Lord sent an angel to Hagar, and he posed two very important questions. Where are you coming from? And where are you going? I'm going to ask you the same question. Where are you at? Where are you coming from? What are you going through? And where do you think you're going? God already knows the end from the beginning. He knows your history, where you are right now, and where he's leading you. But he wants you to acknowledge where you are. Blind Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus walks to blind Bartimaeus and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" I'll ask you the same question. What do you want God to do for you? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. When I call, they follow." What do you think the voice of God is saying right now to you? Where is God drawing your attention? And he said, "They hear my voice and they obey, they follow." Whatever God is saying to you right now by the Holy Spirit, put your faith, your trust in him. Trust and obey. Do what God is asking you to do. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who sees and hears our prayers. You see our pain and what we're going through right now, especially when we are mistreated. We find ourselves in desert places, isolated, petrified, and alone. Grant us, we pray, the faith, strength, and courage we need to go forward in life with renewed hope, deeper faith, stronger love. Knowing that the God who sees us and hears our prayers is a very present help in times of trouble. He will be with us to the close of the age. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit who comforts us. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you.